You're saved. You've been rescued. Amen. There's no big sins or little sins in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Lost is lost and saved is saved. Amen. Hey, are you ready for this really important announcement? You folks on Sunday night, you make an assertive effort to become or to come out and be a part of Sunday night service. A few weeks ago, I got a phone call from a young man that I'd not talked to in a long, long time. And he is one of the singers with what used to be the Old Path Quartet. Anybody like quartet music? He said, we're coming through and we'll sing just a love offering. Can you work us in? And I know there's other things going on in the state next week, but I chose to be with you and do this rather than where I could have been. So next Sunday night, they're called Anthem. What is it, Kathy? Anthem. She'll get it maybe here in a minute. I know them as the Old Path Quartet. There they are, Anthem Edition. They had a discrepancy with their name, with an organization that had that Old Path copyrighted. So they ran into a problem with that. So they had to change their name. There they are. They'll be here next week, next Sunday night, the 11th. So go ahead and plan on being here. Invite a friend, invite a neighbor. You say, well, I don't know who they are. I've never listened to them. Most people are on YouTube every now and then. Google Old Path. If you'll Google the Old Path Quartet, Old Path, you can find them there. And you can listen to them. But right now, we've got a One Path, Brother Tim. And he's a one-man band. No, I'm just picking on him a little bit. If you ever want a good joke, walk up to him and say, tell me your best joke. And Tim will give you his best one. And if he can't come up with one real quick, he'll borrow one for Chris. And they'll get it worked out together. Amen. Welcome, Brother Tim, tonight.
Are you happy to be in your father's house? December 21st, 2002. The greatest man I thought that ever walked. This earth left it. He went to heaven. 21 days before that, he called me and my brother over to his bedside. He knew both of us were not living right. And he said, boys, I want you to make me one promise that you'll meet me on the other side. And that Tuesday night in Cape Fear Valley Hospital, I never dreamed my dad would be gone in 21 days. But there was a greater man than that that walked this earth. And it was Jesus Christ. And I have always marveled at this. Who am I that a king will come to this earth for me and die for me? Worship with me as I sing this old, old song. This song is older than me, but it's a beautiful song. When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. Oh, Mount Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this simple question, for who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know.
why he ever loved me so. That to an old rugged cross he would go. For who am I? I'm reminded of his words. I'll leave you never. Just be true and I'll give to you life forever. I don't know what I could have done to deserve God's only Son. That a king would bleed and die for. Who am I that he would pray, not my will but thine for? Oh, the answer I may never know. Why he loved me. Cross he would go, for who am I? But to an old rugged cross he would go, for who am I?
Are you thankful that a king left his throne in glory and came to this earth for you?
Glad tonight to report of being saved. Amen. Thank God tonight for being saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and on fire. Amen. Thank God for that. I want to share with you a message, and Scott and I sometimes play tag team on our messages. I don't even mean to do it. It just sort of happens. Brother Scott talked a little bit about this. It's going to walk through the Sunday school lesson over this next quarter, or first part of the quarter anyway. But I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. I want to talk to you a little bit this evening on what Paul wrote to the church at Rome. Again, these are very, very familiar scriptures. But there's a segment of this scripture that I believe God spoke to my heart about, and I wanted to share that with you tonight, the Lord Jesus being my helper tonight. The book of Romans, chapter number 1. When Paul began to write this, and there's other parts I could read of this scripture text, Paul begins to write this in verse number 16. And you know it as well as I do. And Paul says these words in verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Let's stand and go to the house. Just kidding. If we could get that part right there, I believe it could turn the city upside down. I believe it could turn our lives upside down. I believe it could turn our families upside down. And Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." So this evening, I'm going to take that as my topic. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul begins to write seven or eight different things as you begin to look at this particular verse of Scripture of what Paul was actually writing when Paul wrote this. First of all, Paul made his proclamation of the purpose of his existence. And when we say that we're not ashamed of the gospel as a church, we are making our proclamation of our existence. John the Revelator was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And through the exile there, there became what we know as the revelation, the unveiling, the uncovering, that by the Spirit, John was given the message that was to be given to the seven churches of the Asia Minor. And as John began to write this, it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Paul had that same revelation on the road to Damascus when Paul was taken from his beast and cast to the ground. And there was a bright light that shone around about Paul, and Paul said these famous words that we've all heard before, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Again, when Paul began to preach, Paul, from there he went to Ananias' house, and he was given food, and the scales was removed from his eyes. God opened up his eyes. And then the Bible says, and straightway Paul went and Paul began to preach. Paul didn't preach a philosophy. Paul didn't preach some just feel good type of anything. Paul preached Jesus. And if there's anything that you and I need to understand, that the very existence of why we do what we do is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost and a dying world. When Paul began to write this, he made his proclamation. This is what Paul said. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." Now you know and I know, we know that gospel simply means good news. Not good news of the weather, good news of something happening in the latest community event. But the good news was circled around one thing, and that was Jesus. It's too early in the service to get mad at the preacher. But I believe today that the church needs to get back to one thing, and that's talking about Jesus. We can talk about all kinds of things, and all kinds of things are good to talk about. But in the church, I believe that we need to get back to talking about the reason we exist. And that is just simply Jesus. Chris, if you'll give me just a little bit of monitor, brother, I appreciate it. When you begin to look at the Scripture, that's good. When you begin to look at the Scripture, we can see again that Paul was saying these words, "I am not ashamed." How many of you know the Bible says, and Jesus said, "If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you'll confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven." And again, I'm not saying anybody in the room is ashamed. But evidently there was a time in Paul's life where Paul had to make a bold proclamation of who Jesus is. Paul was a persecutor. Paul was one of those guys that had papers going up to Damascus to get them signed off on to where he had legal right to persecute the church. But Paul had this revelation of Jesus. And I believe today when the church gets a true revelation of Jesus, that we'll get back to preaching Jesus straightforwardly, flat-footedly, shoulders squared, looking the devil in the eye. Got my foot on a rock and my mind's made up. Now we come to preach Jesus. We come to preach Jesus because in Jesus, that your early church began to say these words. We can talk about a whole lot of names and we can talk about a whole lot of things. But Peter talked about Jesus. Peter said, "Neither Is there any other name given among men whereby you must be saved? I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Flat-footedly, shoulders squared, looking the devil straight in the eye. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be ugly. But you can just take a stand for Him. I was told years ago, even as a child, if a man don't stand up for something, he'll fall for anything. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He went on to say these very words in this text because he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first. And we may not understand why Paul wrote this, but they did understand why. Because this message of the Messiah was first delivered to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And then Paul was beginning to say this in verse number 15. He encapsulates this because Paul was saying, for as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. The Gentile world began to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God to the Jew. It's the power of God to the Jew, Gentile. It's the power of God, the Bible said, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, we look at this and Paul said, for therein is this righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul again, he corralled them, if you will, and he pointed back to that one thing that you've got to have, your faith, that we are justified by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. The only way that you and I are born again is by putting our faith and our confidence in one man and one purpose. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look in the Scripture and we see things in the Scripture. We understand looking at the Scripture that all throughout the New Testament, their central message always focused on Jesus. And you say, well, it may not be as popular today as it was then to preach Jesus. We've got to water it down a little bit. We got to weaken it up a little bit. I like strong black coffee. Somebody says, you want a little sugar, a little Splenda in your coffee? Really? You want a little of that latte? My wife drinks that creamy stuff you put in your coffee. I don't like it watered down. If you're going to give it to me straight. Come on, somebody. I like strong black coffee. That's how I like the gospel. I like it straightforward and I like it right. The gospel is the good news. And it's about who? It's about Jesus. Some of the things I begin to think about because of the world that we're living in today. And people say that we need to lighten up and we need to lighten the load, preacher, and we need to lessen it these days and hours that we're living in. I got a big smear right in front of my glasses and I can't half see. Let me fix that real fast and get tangled up in the cord. But people say you need to water it down. Don't need to water it down. If there's anything we need to do is we need to be bold enough. Because they were identified in the New Testament church. Because the Bible said when they looked upon them, they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. But they noticed something very different about them. That they had been with Jesus. The upper room, it was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And they came out of that upper room and they were speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And when they came out of the upper room, there was one message that was on the hot tip of the tongue of the flame of the Holy Ghost is when Peter came out and Peter began to preach, and you can look at it in your own time. But Peter came and Peter began to tell them that this same Jesus that you crucified, this same Jesus that you hung on the cross, this same Jesus that gave His life is the same Jesus that I'm preaching unto you. If there's anything that we need to do in the church today, we don't need to water down the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, again to reiterate, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. May I submit unto you today that a, watch this, that a Christless gospel is a dangerous gospel. A Christless gospel is not a real gospel. Let me say that one again. A Christless gospel is not a real gospel. It is a counterfeit of the genuine. It is a counterfeit of the genuine. When we see that John began to preach about Jesus. When John was there and John was in the book of Matthew, and I'm not going to turn there right now, I'll just tell you what it said in the book of Matthew. There was a voice crying in the wilderness. His name was John. Really weird looking guy. No doubt he had long hair. No doubt he had a beard. No doubt he was probably one of the most unusual guys. He had a pocket of snacks in his pocket. And his snack, as he walked down the road, he had some locusts in his pocket. He had some wild locusts and some honeycomb. Come on, somebody. Probably not one of those guys that you would pick to be on your team. Come on, somebody. He had a leather girt, if you will, and he had a very weird-looking attire, if you will. But out of that man named John, there was a message of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." There was a voice of one crying in the wilderness to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. We're living in a day of compromise. We're living in a day of the watered-down gospel. We're living in a day and an hour where that the counterfeit is everywhere you look around. But as far as me, as Joshua said, Sherry and I can talk for me and her. We're going to serve God, somebody. We're going to put our hand to the plow and we're going to keep going on for Jesus' sake. I don't care what's going on around me. It don't matter what's going on around me. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the gospel changes not. Hello, somebody. So when we think about John, we think about John preaching in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Can I share a few things with you this evening? A fake gospel will tell you it's okay to sin. A fake gospel will tell you that there's a pluralism and other ways to God. A fake gospel this evening will tell you that it's okay to do unethical things and immoral things. A fake gospel will tell you homosexuality is right. A fake gospel will tell you lesbianism is right. You don't have to look at me like that. But I tell you that God still says right is right and wrong is wrong. And you, my friend, we've got to understand that the gospel does not change in society today. That the gospel, society don't change the gospel, but the gospel is to change society. We have a crisis in our world today. And there are those that have tried to wane away from the truth. And you say, well, preacher, you're going to get emails and you're going to get these things and people's going to get mad at you and people are going to get upset at you and you shouldn't be calling things out like that. Well, let me tell you something, friend. I'm at the age now that I ain't got no other choice but to tell the truth. And I have way past whether or not anybody likes me because of what I do, and that's preach the gospel. I could care less if anybody likes me over what I preach. I don't care as long as God is looking down on me and God says, that's my son, that's my servant, and God is telling me to preach the word. I'm okay with that. But there's a fake gospel in our fake world today. Now, there's a real world, I understand that. But we live in this illusional world today where everything seems to be illusional and there seems to be an absence of the truth. The Bible says, thy word is the truth. And if there's any delivering, if there's any saving, if there's any sanctifying, if there's any indwelling and infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit of God, it's got to be based on the truth of God's Word. Come on, somebody. I'm going to share some things with you I believe is very important. Because I believe this is something that I believe the church has got to make a decision over. And it's found over in the book of Galatians, where again, Paul, this wonderful preacher of the gospel, was sharing the word to that with that church there at Galatia. And what Paul actually was saying, there's going to be a little bit of reading in this, but I think it's very imperative that we see what it says. And again, when we look in Galatians chapter 1, and we see this in verse number 6. Now, this is something that I believe, if there's ever been a day and an hour that I've ever preached anything in the church that you've ever listened to, I think this is the moment in time that you need to take your pen and write it down and say, Pastor Green, preach the truth. Because again, Paul warned, and Paul was telling them of the very day and the very hour that I feel like that we're in. And I'll get into some other things in a moment. But there's only one gospel. There's only one way to heaven. And Jesus is still the way. You say, well, that's what the Bible says in John 14, 6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That no man come to the Father but by Him. But a lot of folks today, and I can't stigmatize, and I can't stereotype, and I can't say you. I can't put the word you in there. But in a lot of places today, people are doing things that's so counterintuitive to the Word of God. I mean, if they don't like what it says, they just rip it out and skip over it and could care less whether they live by it or subscribe to it. But as far as the church that God's wanting to bless, and that's us. And again, I may not be the most popular kid on the block, and I may not be the biggest church in town, but I do pray that I can preach a solid gospel message without compromise and without wavering. Because we're living in a day, and I'll show you this by the time I get finished about 11:30. I'm just trying real quick to be quick. Just kidding. See if you're listening. But this is what Paul was writing then. Watch this. Verse 6. And these again to these Jewish customs and those things that was being said even in their day. I marvel that you, watch this, that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into grace. And again, Paul was saying, I am absolutely blown away by the fact that you have been removed, that you have moved away so quickly from the grace of Christ, watch this, unto another gospel. And Paul again was telling this church that he said, I am absolutely blown away that you would go after something strange or a doctrine that is preached different than what I preached unto you. And you say, well, we don't see that in our economy today. Listen. All you got to do is flip on a TV or a radio or some type of media. You can see all kinds of stuff. What I'm trying to say here this evening is I'm trying to put a stake in the ground. Wasn't it the little children's song years ago? And I guess you could help me sing it. I don't know. Years ago, there was a song that simply said, I'm going to try to sing it. And it said, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved. I don't know the second verse, but you can help me with it. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. I think that's it. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Whatever it says. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. And it goes on. Oh, the Rock of Ages, I shall not be moved. I think that's a separate song. Anchored in Jehovah. Old Chris knows it, don't he? He sung that as a kid. I should have got you up here to write my notes for me. How many of you feel that way? And Paul said, why are you so quickly removed? I tell you what removes people, and this is just my opinion, And again, my opinion is my opinion. And if you got up here, you could preach what you've... I think it's because people are looking for an easier route. And people are looking for some type of easy, cheesy, little something that's simple. And that there's no commitment. There's no real life in it. And in this, again, Paul was writing this, and he says, I am absolutely amazed. I am astounded that you so quickly removed away from Christ. We can't let the world persuade us to move away from Jesus. In the day and the hour that we're living in, we've got to stand with our feet planted firmly, Brother Russell, on Jesus Christ. Amen. Period. Uncompromising. Jesus is not up for debate. Come on, somebody. You could preach this in a Pentecostal church years ago and they'd shout the shoes off. Jesus is not up for debate and Jesus ain't for sale. Come on, somebody. And he said again in that scripture, he said, I am just astounded that you were so quickly removed. If there's anything that you hear me say tonight is get anchored in Jesus. Because I know and you know that we're living in the day and the hour, and I'll get into it in just a few minutes, that we have every type of wind and doctrine and devils and seducing spirits out there today. And I'm telling you, if the church is going to survive, it's got to be built on Jesus Christ, the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. It's time for the church to boldly square her shoulders and say, I still believe in Jesus Christ. I still believe in the old rugged cross. Look what Paul said in verse 7. And he says, which is not another. It's not another gospel. There's only one good news. There's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. His name is still Jesus. His name is still Jesus this evening. Hey, amen. His name is still Jesus this evening. And my friend, we've got to understand that this gospel preaching that we're doing this evening, we've got to understand what Paul was saying. And Paul was saying, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Pervert the gospel. Make it mean something that it really don't mean. Make it distorted in a way. And the commentary talked about an illusional effect. And I'll get into that again in a minute. An illusional effect. And I'm telling you, we serve a God that is able, but yet there is a devil loose today that's trying to do everything he can to destroy every young person. He's trying to do everything he can to put enough pressure on you and enough pressure on me to where you and I will throw our hands up and bend and break and say, what's the use in doing what I'm doing? You say, preachers, he tried that with you. Not necessarily, but if I would listen to him long enough, he would probably try that. I'm not for sale. Come on, somebody. I'm not for sale. Jesus is not for debate. But he said it's not really even a gospel. He said, but there's some that trouble you. If you have a solid foundation, if the church is built on Jesus, let the hounds of hell howl. Let the winds and the storms blow. But my friend, when you're anchored in Jesus, you're going to know you have an anchor that will hold, the song says. But you have an anchor that will hold no matter what you're going through, no matter what I'm going through. Then Paul was saying this. You're letting that trouble you. You're letting that bother you. You're letting that disturb you. Now watch this. And Paul began to say this in verse number 8. And I love this verse of scripture. He says, but though we are an angel from heaven, an angel? Hang on. That's a good thought right there. Hang on. Brother West, you might know where I'm going. Hang on. He said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. Paul was saying this, if there's any other gospel that's been preached unto you, that I've not preached unto you. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of, for it's the power of God unto. And Paul came back here and he says, if there's anybody else preaching any other gospel other than what I have delivered unto you, he said, let him be accursed. When you say that word accursed in the Greek, it's there and it means to be given up to destruction. And as we said, Paul said, and as we said before, so that I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? I don't mean to holler, it just sort of rises up in me. I don't mean to be boisterous, I don't mean to be loud, I don't mean to be that way. But my friend, here's the thing that Paul was writing. And if this was not out there, even in Paul's day, there certainly would not have been a warning of Paul, do you better really be careful what you're hearing. Let me tell you something. Don't believe every preacher on TV. Don't believe everything you hear and take it for the gospel. Don't believe everything I say. I said it. Weigh it against the Word of God. Weigh it against the Bible. Weigh it against what God is saying. Just because a man says it, it don't mean that it's necessarily true. Weigh it against the Word of God. And Paul was warning and Paul was saying, don't believe everything you hear because it could lead you into destruction. But believe the Bible. Believe Jesus tonight. I could shout right now. Heard Brother Culpepper say one time, he said, I could run to the other end of the parking lot if I wouldn't have to walk back. And sometimes we feel that way. And Paul again was saying this in this text. For do I now persuade men? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. In other words, if I preach this gospel, preach just for the appeasing of men, let me be accursed. And that's what Paul was saying. Again, when we look at this, the Bible warns and he says, even if an angel or anyone else preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. When we think about this, a fake gospel, it's going to get rough right here. Fasten your seatbelt. Come on, somebody. A fake gospel will tell you that it's okay to fornicate. A fake gospel will tell you that it's okay to jump into an adulterous affair. A fake gospel will tell you that it's okay to drink alcohol. A fake gospel today will tell you it's okay to smoke a little pot every now and then because God made it and it's natural. So is rattlesnakes. But God's give you enough sense to choose between good and evil, right and wrong. That's another message for another time. I got the notes on it right here, but I'm not going to get into that. That's another time. So a fake gospel is a gospel that will lead you down a pathway of destruction. Paul mentioned that. But the fake gospel will tell you it's okay that God understands. I've said this two or three times today, and I'm going to say it again right now. That everything that glitters is not gold. And everything that looks like a diamond is not a diamond. And the enemy today, and Chris knows this as much as I do, and you do too. The enemy is doing everything he can to destroy and distort the gospel message in the day and the hour that we're living in. When Paul was training this young man by the name of Timothy, you know this as well as I. When Paul was training this young man named Timothy, one of the things that Paul actually told Timothy to do, not only did he tell him to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord, undergo. You're going to undergo some things as a good soldier of the Lord. Not undergo things just for the sake of undergoing, but undergo things as a good soldier of the Lord, for Christ's sake, for the gospel's sake. And again, Paul was writing this to Timothy, and this is all about the gospel. When Paul was writing this in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 1, Paul says, I charge thee. He gave him a charge in verse number 1. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Somebody say, there's going to be a payday someday. Verse number 2, again, Paul was writing to this young preacher, this young Timothy, a young evangelist. What was his commission? Preach the word. I feel that. Preach the word. I got to do it. Preach it when it's hot. Preach it when it's not. But preach it. You say, you're acting awful cocky tonight, preacher. I'm just giving the devil all the black eyes I can give him while I can. Because I know, my friend, that gospel message, the Bible said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand forever. The Bible's not up for compromise. Paul began to tell this young man, Timothy, to be instant, in season, when it's good, when they like it, out of season, when it might not be very popular for you to do what you're doing, but Paul said, you're going to have to do it. And then he said, reprove. Sometimes the word will reveal. And it'll reprove. It'll show you your sin. It'll reprove you. Sometimes the word will rebuke. Sometimes God will use you in your life to speak the truth in love, to rebuke. But don't do it in your own strength. Don't do it in your own power. Rebuke. Exhort. Tell them the truth in love. With all long-suffering and doctrine. Again, this was focused around the one thing that, oh my goodness, I didn't realize what time it was. I might need to. Sorry, I had no idea. Okay, focus, preacher, focus. Thank you. That sort of messed me up for a minute. I looked up there and seen that red clock glaring at me. What was I saying? Paul was telling Timothy that you've got to stand on the word. Let me hurry. I didn't realize seriously what time it was. I was just playing with you a minute. But yet the Holy Ghost was given by the inspiration of God. Look at this. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves, teacher, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Turn to fables. But watch thou in all things endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. And then he says, make full proof of your ministry. And then we see here in the word where the Bible says, again, Paul telling and Paul training this young evangelist, this young preacher, to preach the word. Verse 16 of chapter 3 says this. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God inspired. The Bible says to us that it's as holy men were bore along, as God breathed upon. Somebody says, well, I don't know about the scripture because men wrote the scripture. Men did. God used holy men of old and they were inspired, the Bible says, of the Holy Spirit to write the Word of God. And I know there's so much compromise today. Over every version of the Bible has been translated from the original Aramaic and Greek and Hebrew. But I believe that we have enough of the Word of God to teach a man and a woman and a boy and a girl how to get to heaven. I can't always pronounce all the names of the Old Testament. The Hebrew names are very difficult. Somehow or another, I can't get my tongue to do what they need to do. Come on, somebody. But again, God's given us enough to know the truth. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me hurry right here real fast. When Paul again was telling this young Timothy again in verse 16, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If I had time this evening, and I don't, why is it important? I'm just going to give you this little nugget. Why is it important that we build the church and we build our lives on the gospel? Paul answers that very same question because he says this in the first part of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I'm just going to read a portion of it. And he says this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. We're there. They're not coming. We're there. I used to preach this message years ago, and we didn't know what that would be. But we're there. We're there where that men will call evil good and good evil. We're there where men's minds have been seared as with an hot iron. We're there. We're there where that it seems to be another Sodom and another Gomorrah that we seem to be living in. And this world has gone crazy. It has. But here's the thing, because the Bible says when you see all these things happening, lift up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And those that endure to the end shall be saved. And again, somebody says, are you pre-mid or post? I'm pan. I know it'll all pan out in the end. Come on, somebody. No, I'm still pre-trib. Come on now. I understand that. But we shouldn't get all tore up when we see these things happening, because it's already been prophesied about that it will happen. What we got to do is hold on to Him. We got to hold on to the cross. Hold on to the gospel. Paul says, he says here in the Word, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Go read Romans 1 sometime. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power, the word. And then there's a solemn warning given by Paul again to the readers of this and to young Timothy, from such turn away. Paul wrote this. Now I got to get into second page. That's page one. I'm only going to give you, y'all looking at me like, are you serious? Yeah, I'm serious. That was just page one. Only two pages. I don't have six. You know I love you. You know I preach what I preach because God lays on my heart, but I don't want nobody to go to hell on my watch. I don't want nobody, Brother Steve, to backslide on my watch. I don't want anybody to say they wasn't told the truth on my watch. We have to be careful to hold to the truth. Hey, let me share this with you. And this is on page two, but I've only got two pages. But I'm just going to give you this little nugget. Let me turn there before I tell Jan where it's at, because I want to make double sure I've got the right place. And I've looked at it and looked at it. I just want to make double sure I've got the right place. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to take the time to do all of this, but the serpent came in. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The serpent came and beguiled Eve. We know that. And this again is that Eve was deceived, and Paul was writing that you be not deceived through the simplicity of the gospel. Now, verse 4. Again, Paul's writing this again. Paul is writing this again. This must have been rapid in the day that that Paul continually had to go back during the time of the Greek gods and everything that was in Corinth, that great seaport, if you will. All kinds of gods with little g's all over that place. That it was a place where the philosophy was large and people, the philosophers must have been everywhere. I'll let Brother Scott hit that in Sunday school class somewhere, sometime. Some seek wisdom, and as Paul was saying. And these people that Paul was writing to, they were blown away by the fact that Paul said that, I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom. But Paul was saying, I just come unto you. I determined among you, I determined to do nothing else but to preach Jesus unto you. And Paul said, I'm going to keep it real simple. I'm going to preach Jesus. And then again, Paul was writing this, and he says this in verse 4. He says, for if he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, you might well bear with me. And Paul was saying, for I suppose I was not a whit behind of the chiefest of the apostles. Paul was talking about the message that he was preaching was a real simple message. And Paul again was saying, I didn't come to you. I'm going to shut this just in case I get carried away. Paul was saying, I didn't come to you with any other thing but to preach Jesus. Now watch this, and then I'm done. Why is this important to us today? Because the adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If the devil can get your mind so messed up that you and I began to debate the gospel message, he's already got a foot in the front door. He's already got a foot. That's why so many people are backsliding and so many people are losing out with God today, because they have failed to believe the Word of God and they have failed to believe in the authenticity of the author of the book. That when it came out of the grave, that when it gave his life. And it's because in our society today, everybody wants an easier route. Another way, another gospel. A gospel that's not sacrificial. A gospel that don't make no demands on my life. A gospel that is an easy gospel. It's not easy. You think it was easy for Jesus? Ask him when they jerked the beard from his face if it was worth it. Ask him when they took the cat of nine tails and they beat him on the back, where the meat of his back was just open. But he done it for you and me. He done it. Let me share this. Let me share this. So when we look at the scripture, we look at this, and Paul went on to write this, and Paul wrote this in the scripture. Again, I told you a while ago that even if an angel come and preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. An angel? Verse 13 says this, Paul was saying, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. They're not real apostles. And you can read the rest of that text, because they took away from the truth of Jesus Christ and they were not really true apostles. Any gospel that takes away from Jesus and puts an emphasis upon man is a fake gospel. I'll go ahead and say this. Any gospel that takes anything away from Christ, even when the Holy Ghost comes, the Bible said, Jesus was saying, when the Holy Ghost comes, he won't speak of himself, but he'll speak of me. And don't get mad, I'm fixing to close. But even in this prosperity gospel that you hear on television today, that takes and twists the Word of God, and they put all the emphasis upon that type of stuff, and they take the emphasis away from Jesus Christ and the Word of God, it's a fake gospel. You can just do with that what you want to do with it. And Paul was saying here in the Word in verse number 14, and he says, and no marvel. In other words, don't even let it be a wonder to you. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That it'll look so much like the truth that it'll take away from the truth. And if we are not very, very careful in the day and the hour that we're living in, the Bible said that a man will believe a lie and be, you said it, not me. We cannot take away from the gospel. If I had another 30 minutes, I'd go back to Romans 1 and I'd exegete verse number 16 and we would tear verse 16 apart. Put that back up there, Jan, if you will, verse 16, where we started. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed. What about you? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It's the power that breaks the yoke of the enemy, the gospel, unto salvation. The gospel leads to salvation. Look in the book of Acts. Peter preached it. But he preached salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Friend, if you didn't get anything out of what I said tonight, get this. It's time for the church to get back to the gospel. Stand with me tonight. And I'm just simply going to say this as part of the conclusion of the matter. This is the only way I know to charge the church tonight, is to ask you and to ask myself for us to renew our commitment to the Word of God and to the Bible and say, Pastor, I'm going to believe that book right there you hold in your hand. You say, well, is it the King James Version? This one happens to be. But just because you change a thee or a thou, or if any man change the Word of God, the Bible said that God's going to add to him. What is he saying? He's not saying a thee or a thou, but he's talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you change this book and you make it about anything other than Jesus, he said, I'm going to remove your name out of the book of life. If you add to this book, if you say it's Jesus plus anything else, it's not a thee or a thou. To me, I don't care if it's an NIV or a new King James or Amplified or a new... I'm not worried about that. But if you take the blood out of it, and if you take Jesus out of it, you're in danger of hellfire, friend. So let's cling to the book. Let's cling to the gospel. Let's hold on, Brother Steve, a little longer. If there's anything we need to do, is we need to be more committed in the day and the hour than we've ever been in all of our lives. So, Father, we love you tonight, and we praise you. And we thank you, God, that thy word is truth. You said that your word is forever settled in heaven. And there's nothing that'll ever replace your word. Because you said in your scripture that thy word is truth. And every person around this room, God, we recommit ourselves not only to the reading of the Bible, but the application of the Bible. Taking the Bible and applying it to our lives. For you said truly in thy word that thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Lead us, O God, I pray, down the pathway of life that we can find in your word. And Father, we thank you and we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you gather up your coats and your totes and your... How many of you tonight felt this message was for this church? And I believe with everything within me that it was